This is Radharasa Divinity Class continuing with verse 144. Radhanamayavakaryam yadunina militam saran adisha kotis tyaja naraja rada parakamala sudam sat Martagra Koti Radha Padabja Lila Bhuvi Jayati Saramanda Mandhara Koti Sri Radha Kinkarinam Lutati Chananayor Adbhuta Siddhi Koti. So Sripad is mentioning four different items here, which are millions and millions of times. One is that we discussed yesterday, is Radha Nam. By chanting Radharani's holy name, Radhanamai Vakaryam Yanuninam Anudina, day after day, it's more valuable than millions of the king of all sadhana practices. And then it says, then today we're going to discuss the worship of Radharani's feet, Radha Pada Kamala Sudam Sat Pumartagra Koti. The worship of Radharani's feet is more valuable than any type of gold in life. I think we discussed that point yesterday also. And so today is the third point, is Radha Charana Lila Bhumi. This is a very nice point. He says that Radha Padabja Lila Bhuvi Jayati Sada Amanda Mandara Koti. He says, the translation is here, says, first he makes the point, by worshipping Radharani's lotus feet, if somebody's worshipping Radharani's lotus feet, they don't care for millions of other things, millions of types of mukti, millions of types of material rewards or economic development or millions of fulfillments of desires. They don't care. Everything is there in that point we mentioned. Just in the worship of Radharani's feet, everything can be found. Meditating on Radharani's feet, serving her feet, walking behind, remembering her feet, everything about Radharani is a perfection for one's eyes and mind, words, heart, everything. So now he said, and then the question the author or anyone might ask, why is that? How are Radharani's feet so glorious? Then he explains that, why? Because there are millions of desire trees, millions of wish-fulfilling desire trees in the playground of Radharani's lotus feet. This translator says there are millions of brilliantly divine desire trees are always present in the playground forest of Radha's lotus feet. So we don't have to go to some kalparviksha tree, desire tree, wish-fulfilling tree, and embrace that tree or do puja to that tree and beg that tree to fulfill our desires, because everything is in one place. We get everything we need, everything we want, everything we could ever desire at the feet of Radharani. It's a one-stop shop. You stop, just put our minds there and everything is gained. So he's making this a point that even millions, he's saying mandara, millions of wish-fulfilling trees are in Radharani's lotus feet. So I have some note about that, that there's millions of desire trees are always at Radha's lotus feet. And then he describes why. All these arthas and everything, we don't care. The desire tree of Radharani's lotus feet reveal all the Braja Madhurya Leelas. Radharani's feet, because wherever Radharani's feet, where do they walk? They walk on Abhisar to meet Krishna. They walk around the mandala of the ras. They dance around the mandala of the ras. Radharani's feet, if you follow Radharani's feet, wherever her feet go, a leela will unfold. A beautiful leela will unfold with Krishna. So there, and if someone is absorbed in meditating on Krishna's leelas, then that he has no desires. It says that the verse in CC, it says it, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakalaya shanta. Krishna Bhakta Naishkama Sakale Shanta says that those that have desire, they're not peaceful, they're not happy. Bhukti Mukti, you want liberation, you want sense enjoyment. They're not happy, not peaceful. Mind is always agitated by desire, by pushing with this want and that want. But Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ateva Shanta. Certainly, the devotee who is a serious and surrendered devotee, he's happy. That's why he's called Niskinchan. Niskinchan means no kincha. Kitcha means kitchu. Little bit. He doesn't have any desire in Niskinchan. Because whatever desires he had, they disappeared. Whatever he wants, the happiness he wants, the peace he wants, the fulfillment he wants, the perfection he wants, is all found just by serving the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And this verse is emphasizing the feet of Radharani, because Manjari's aim and objective is the service of Radharani's feet, Radhadasyam. So therefore he says that the Radharani's, it says, by serving, all desires can be attained. The complete fulfillment of all our desires is attained at the lotus feet of Radharani. Oftentimes when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam or other shastras, they talk about meditating on Krishna's feet. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. There's that, the nine limbs of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So they say Vishnu, Smaranam. So when someone asks, well, how do you meditate on Vishnu? How do you, Smaran means remember. How do you meditate or remember Vishnu? And then it's told that first you think of, fix your mind on the lotus feet. This is too high, or it's like, that's okay like that? Okay. So you meditate on the lotus feet, and everywhere it's told, Krishna Dhyan, Vishnu Dhyan, meditation, contemplation begins with the feet. Then they explain so many glories of meditating on Krishna's feet, or Vishnu's feet, or Ram's feet. If one just meditates on the feet, then all desires are fulfilled, he becomes peaceful, attains anything he wants. But when you read Sankalpa Kapladruma, when you read one book by Rupa, it's called Rupa Chintamani by Vishnu Chakravartipad, he says, okay, I want to describe to you how to meditate. Because we're Manjaris, so part of the Manjari meditation, or the aspiring Manjaris, sadhakas, is that they meditate on their sarup, and they meditate on Guru's sarup, and maybe key personalities in their line, in their family. But also, of course, meditate on the form of Krishna and Radha. So there he says, as a teaching and guide, you can say, help for the sadhakas and ragmarg, here's how you should meditate. I'm going to give you a meditation on Radha and Krishna. Rupa Chintamani. Chintamani means chintamani. Chinta means thoughts, desires, and money means jewels, a thought gem, a desire gem. I'm going to tell you how to fulfill all your desires by meditating on the Rupam, Rupa Chintamani, the divine transcendental form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. It's like a wish-fulfilling gem, Chintamani. So he describes, then at the end of this description, it's like a guided, you can say a guided meditation. At the end of it, he says, anyone who goes through this meditation three times will have darshan of Krishna and Radharani. I don't know what he means. I've gone through it a few times, but I'm still waiting. I think maybe the three times weren't three times three times three, or the way I did it. Anyway, whatever. In other words, it's the idea, at least, we can draw from his blessing. Vishnu Chakravartipad, it's true, it's not a come on, it's not a sales pitch. It's true, it's correct, and it will definitely happen. The main point is that he shows how much power there is in meditation. Because everywhere in Puranas and everywhere in Shrutis, it talks about meditating on Vishnu's feet, Krishna's feet, and how beneficial and helpful and powerful that is. So there he says, now he doesn't describe his guided meditation. Now let's begin your meditation by meditating on Krishna's feet or Radharani's feet. And this is unlike any other scripture. Nowhere meditation is described like this. A very rasic shiksha. He says, begin your meditation, fix in your mind, now and for time eternal, fix the beautiful smiling face of Radharani. The beautiful, sweet, smiling face of Radharani. Fix that in your mind. Very deeply concentrate, meditate on the beautiful, gentle smile of Radharani. And then he goes, Now that you have that smile in your mind, now meditate on Radharani's face and her eyes. And so you go all the way down. Finally, you get to Radharani's lotus feet, last. Rather than all other meditations, you start with Vishnu's charan. Charan chinna, dhyan, charan pada. Meditate on the feet, meditate on the symbols of the feet, and gradually rise up to the face of Krishna or Vishnu. And he describes the same thing for Krishna. So this verse is saying that Radharani's feet are like Chintamani. Just fix our mind there, or Radharani's whole form. And the complete fulfillment of all desires can be attained at Radha's feet by serving Radharani's feet, by glorifying Radharani's feet, by remembering Radharani's feet, by worshipping Radharani's feet, by massaging, etc. No hankering or wants will remain in the mind or heart. Radha is a desire tree. The lotus feet, all Radha Krishna's Braja Leelas are in Radharani's feet. Because wherever Radharani is, Krishna will be there. And when Radha and Krishna come together, then they have Radha Krishna Leelas. So Radharani's feet are the abode of all the pastimes. That's what he's saying. He's glorifying Radharani's feet. Radha Pada Abja Leela Bhuvi Jayati. All glories, Jayati, all glories. Sada, unlimited, eternal, Manda Mandara Koti. Millions and millions of desire trees are existing in the two beautiful lotus bud like feet of Srimati Radharani. Because there's all confidential and pure pastimes of pure love. And those pastimes are full of beauty and charm, enchantment, sweetness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Those are certainly desirable experiences and feelings and perceptions. When you think about these individually, beauty. Anyone is interested in beauty? Charm, enchantment, sweetness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. That's everything. Everything's there. And it's all there in Radharani's feet. And because of that, Radharani's feet are called desire trees. They'll fulfill everyone's cherished desires for eternal peace, love, satisfaction, and happiness. Basically, with any practice of devotion or any type of recommendation, if you do this, you'll get this. Then the only way to know for sure whether that's correct is if one does that. If you combine these items together and follow the instructions I'm giving, then you'll produce a loaf of bread. Combine this flour with this baking soda, with this salt, and put in the oven, and then you'll get a loaf of bread. This is a cooking recipe. So meditative techniques are recipes for experiencing God within your own consciousness, within your own heart. So they say, there's a phrase, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So let's put it in Indian terms. Someone says, this is very good kheer, this is very good. So how do I know it looks white like any other sweet rice or kheer? Then, no, they say you have to taste it. So the proof is when you taste it. So when Sripad is telling that so much perfection lies in meditating on Radharani's feet, then we have to try it. We have to meditate on Radharani's feet. and see if we experience any enchantment or any peace or any fulfillment or any satisfaction or happiness by doing that. We're very busy people, or our minds are very distracted. And in yoga circles, they say the mind is full of vikshepa, which means distraction. And anyone can understand that when you try to fix your mind in one place and do meditation. The meditation is here. This is the place for meditation. So this is a beautiful reminder about Radharani's feet, that there's millions of desires, koti mandara, munda, millions of desire trees, and unlimited pastimes are flowing and contained and found in the lotus feet of Radharani. So this is the glory. That's what he's saying here. The whole title of this verse is the power, unlimited power of Radha Bhajan. Because in the previous verse he says that someone who worships Radharani's lotus feet, Nirajya Radha Padakamala Sudam, someone who's worshipping the nectar-filled lotus flowers of Radharani's feet, then for him, Satpum Arta Agra Koti, millions of material goals and objectives, he doesn't care, but he's getting it. So, Dharma, religion, art, Kam, Moksha. Kam means fulfillment of desire, getting what I want, getting what I need, fulfillment. This is why people practice Dharma. It's why they worship different devas and devis. They want something. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi. Oh Durga Ma, give me wealth, give me followers, give me something. Help me pass my grades. So now when we say we don't need any of that. Devotees of Radha and Krishna, they don't need any dharma, art, kam, moksha. And then he says, why? Because if you're just a worshipper, someone's a worshipper of Radharani. Someone's actually worshipping Radharani and Krishna, obviously, they're together. He says, just by one who's a Niraja of Radha Padakamala Sudham. He's just Niraja. Niraja Radha Padakamala Sudham. He's worshipping the nectar, Sudha, filled lotus flowers of Radharani's feet. I don't care. Millions of types of mukti, millions of types of kam and this, that. And then, what's so special about those feet you're worshipping? Oh, no, you don't know. In Radharani's feet, there's millions of chintamanis. There's millions of wish-fulfilling gems, he says. Crores of brilliant desire trees are present in the playground forest of Radharani's feet. So in one sense, this is a glorification of Radharani's feet, because that's what it says. It says two verses about Radharani's feet. But it says, Radha Padavja Lila Bhuvi. So the other point you could take it as that here in Vrindavan, because this is the place where Radharani's feet are always found. This is the place where Radharani's feet are always moving. And that's why it says, Radha Padabja. Abja means lotus. Abja. Pada means feet. Lila Bhuvi. Bhuvi means this land. The earth. Bhumi. Bhuvi. Lila Bhuvi. So we say Lila Bhumi Vrindavan. Braja Bhumi. Lila Bhuvi. So this Vrindavan, this Sridham Vrindavan, is the Lila Bhuvi of Radharani. Lila Bhuvi or Lila Bhumi. It's a playground. Lila means play. It's a playground. They say the children go down to the corner to play in the playground. At least they used to. I think they're afraid of kidnapping now. So everybody stays home and plays computer games. If you go to Delhi, all the parks are empty. And all the parks, they have all these parks everywhere. There's a street goes like that and goes like makes like a square. There's houses all around, and in the middle of the square there's a park. C block park and D block and E. And that was all designed in New Delhi in the 50s, 40s, 60s, whenever they designed it all. And people used to play and play cricket and play soccer and this, that, everything. And now you go there, there's only dogs there. Only dogs running around. And I asked the people who live in Delhi, you live right there. There's a the street goes like this, then it goes right, then left and right, and it goes in a roundabout. And there's houses all the way around. And then a park in the middle. Very nice, right? All trees around the outside of the park and grass. Very attractively designed and well laid out conception. I said, why are the parks all empty? Are you kidding me? If our kid goes there, maybe he gets snatched, maybe he gets kidnapped. So I said, what do they do? Well, they just sit all day, they come home from school, sit all day in school, come home and sit all afternoon and evening in front of the computer, dot, 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 dot. There's no body contact, there's no wrestling and playing and ego equalizing. Playgroups mean ego equalizing. When you grow up and you play with a group of people, then it's called ego equalizing. Your ego gets cut down to the size. Somebody throws you, group of boys are wrestling, and somebody defeats you, and then they point out your faults. I mean, social interaction. You learn a lot and you grow up a lot when you play groups on the street. But nowadays, it's one brother and one sister sitting in one apartment, each playing on their computer. Dot 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 dot. Getting fatter by the day. Fatter, eating and getting fatter by the day. No exercise, no play, no fresh air, no sunshine. Go in the car to school because you can't walk to school, you get kidnapped. Sit in the car, go to school. Sit in a box in a school, in a box room. Sit in the car going back. Sit in your apartment. You never see the light of the sun practically. This is a modern world we live in. It's called advanced. Sounds, you know, we're a little older. We didn't grow up like that. No? Probably in your country, it's like that also. The world's like that. Crazy world, you know. Maybe you're from France or Europe, whatever. I don't know. But it's like everywhere like that. The days of natural life are long gone. Anyway, let's get back to the reality of the spiritual world, which is ever, ever fresh, Navayovanam. Always beautiful, always enchanting, always pure, always natural, always healthy, organic. That's where we want to be. So the last point of the verse is four kotis here. Koti, Radha Nam is koti, and Radha's worship is koti, and Radharani's Vrindavan and her lotus feet, the chintamani of her lotus feet are millions of times better than anything, sadhana, dharmarth, common, couple of riksha trees, and anything you can imagine. And what's left? So then it's, well, if you're one of those lucky ones, if someone who you've realized that all sadhana ultimately leads to the worship of Radha and Krishna, and especially Radha Dasyam, the eternal servitude of Radharani as her kinkari, and you realize that millions of other, everything's there, then Shri Radha Kinkarinam Lutati Charnayor Adbhutta Siddhi Koti. He says, Adbhutta Siddhi Koti. Millions of the most amazing Adbhutta Siddhi Koti. Siddhi, everyone knows, perfections. Millions of perfections, mystic cities, yogic cities, or millions of any conceivable or possible perfection. Adbhutta Siddhi Koti. What are all these perfections doing? What are they doing? They're lutan, lutati, this is in lutan in Hindi. They're rolling in the dust of the feet of Radharani's manjaris. It's the most amazing thing to try to visualize. The personification of all possible siddhis, lagima, swayam lagima siddhi, and swayam mahima siddhi, and swayam prapti siddhi, and swayam kamavayasita siddhi. And all the possible siddhis and perfections attained by rigorous practices and intensive tapasya of Ashtanga Yoga system, and any type of perfection anyone can imagine is lutati. Lutati says, Shri Radha Kinkari Lutati Charnayor. They're rolling in the feet of the manjaris. Unbelievable. So he says, crores of amazing mystic perfections lie, this translation says, lie unattended heaped up and uncared for at the feet of Radha's maidservants. So all kinds of mystic perfections, he says, are lying at their feet, but lutati means rolling. Let's see what's being said here. Interesting how this translator is concluding. Amazing mystic perfections, that's correct. It says, what is it? Adbhuta siddhikoti, that's clear, charanayor, feet. But lutati, he's taking lutati to mean they're just unattended. No one, the mantri doesn't care anything for those mystic perfections. They're all heaped up. Heaped up means they're just piled up. Oh, so many perfections are piled up at my feet. And I don't care anything for them. I don't care a fig for them. But this translation is a little embellished. Now here's a more accurate translation. Millions of perfections roll at the feet of Sri Radha's maidservants. That's what it's actually being said in the Sanskrit. Lutan, lutati. One of the elements of Sankirtan, which we described in our book, Appreciating Navadvipam, I have one chapter on Sankirtan, and talks about hand clapping and playing musical instruments. These are the elements of Harinam Sankirtan that were utilized during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu Kirtan or Nita Gita. So there in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, they had mridanga and kartals, and also kartal, hand clapping. And they had singha. Singha means it's a horn that goes like this and like that. Yeah, you ever seen? We have one. We got it in Chandichok in Old Delhi. Especially me. So this is, you've seen some paintings sometimes. There's a Harinam party from 500 years ago and someone's playing a horn goes above. It's called singha. Singha also means buffalo horn, like Balaram plays a singha. But this is singha. So singha, and then, so that's mridanga, kartals, hand clapping, horn, and the final element is lutan. Lutan means rolling in the dust. And nrityati. Nrityati means dancing. So when you see Lord Chaitanya is discussing Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri, he's personally organizing the Harinam Sankirtan party. And very nice, very beautiful. So he says, okay, Haridas Thakur, I want you to be the dancer in one party. And Vrakeshwar Pandit, you be the dancer. And Vasudev Ghosh, you be the lead singer. And then the mridanga players, they automatically collect. I want four mridanga parties in this. I want four mridangas in this party and eight kartal players. And there's seven parties. So seven times four is 28 mridangas. And seven times eight is 56 kartal players. At the Rath Yatra, as far as Radharani's Rath Yatra, she's bringing Krishna to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra or Dwarka. Kurukshetra or Dwarka is represented by Sri Mandir, Jagannath Mandir. And Vrindavan is called Neelachala, the mountain of the Neelamani Jagannath. And Achala means hill, mountain. And so Radharani is bringing Rajendra Nandan Shamsundar Jagannath from the mountain of Neelachala to Sundarachala. Sundarachala is the golden mountain of the Sringharati of Radharani. And this is called Gundicha Mandir. This is Ratha Yatra. So when Lord Chaitanya is organizing his seven parties, all seven parties were around Krishna's cart. Doesn't describe anything about Balaram's cart or Subhadra's cart. Four parties, four Harinam Sankirtan parties were in the front of the Jagannath's cart with Gauranga. So four. Each party had four mridangas, and that was so. Surrounding Gauranga, there were four times four. There were 16 mridangas surrounding Gauranga, and 32 kartal players, and so many hand clappers. Then a dancer, maybe Vrakeshwar Pandit or whatever. There was seven dancers, seven lead singers, and four like this. So four parties were in the front of Jagannath's cart, one on the right side, one on the left side, and one behind. So that's seven Sankirtan parties. And You must be knowing it's in chapter 13 of Madhyan Lila. It's called Beda Kirtan. Beda Kirtan. And then they were all moving with the cart, chanting in all four directions of Jagannath. Mahima, Mahima, Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, Hari Krishna. So now sometimes Gauranga Mahaprabhu is in such ecstasy of Mahabhava that he would simply just leave the world, just fly into the sky. So he would call all the seven parties to surround him, to just shower him with waves of that Harinam Sankirtan. And Mahaprabhu would relish the greatest ecstasy in Radhabhav, dancing in front of Jagannath, Vijendra Nandan. So then all seven parties would come together. The three from the round the cart and the four in the front. And then Lord Chaitanya would be surrounded by the set, by 28 kartal players, 28 mridangas and 56 kartal players. And then what kind of dancing you would do? Unbelievable. Can you imagine? You're surrounded by... I mean, I feel if there's one mridanga, it moves my heart to dance. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I hear the... mridanga shun, is it shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula? He's describing there Madhavatiti. He says Madhavatiti Vaishnatoshani. He says that by observing Ekadasi, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. He says by observing Ekadasi, then the mother of devotion, Bhakti Janani, Toshani, becomes nourished. Your devotion becomes nourished and enhanced by observing Madhavatiti, means Harivasara, Ekadasi. He says, when I hear the mridanga, mridanga shunite, when I hear the mridanga sounding in my house, it sounds like my house becomes Vaikuntha. So this is the mridanga. So I remember Indra when he's having his kirtan melas, in his own private melas at 6:30 in the evening every day, and Radha Shyam Mandir. Then he would surround himself like he would surround himself with three, four mridangas. Wasn't you must have seen everyone must have seen. Three, four, maybe five, and that was thunderous and amazing. And all the people would go wild dancing all these. So imagine 16 mridangas. and you're in Mahabhava and Radharani, and Radharani can dance. Gaurangi, Radharani is Gandharvika. So many mantras have Gandharvika's name in it, different Diksha mantras or whatever. Gandharvika, Radharani is dancing. And the Bhav and Kanti. Krishna's in the Bhav and Kanti of Radharani. Radharani's Bhav. Dancing. So this is... Lutan is one of the elements of Sankirtan. So during the Sankirtan, some devotee will be in ecstasy and roll on the ground. It's very common if you go to Navadvip. If you go to Navadvip and go through the villages. And you have Harinam. You're with the Harinam party. I've gone with some of the devotees, Bengali devotees in Mayapur. Sometimes. And so you go in the Harinam, and then people come out from the village, and of course they'll touch your feet or they'll touch the dust. And some of the younger people or men will come out and join the party, and they'll roll, they'll do lutan, they'll roll in the dust like they do, like that. The dust of all the feet of the Vaishnavas. It's very, very nice. So this verse is telling that millions and millions of mystic cities are rolling in the dust of the feet of the mantris. And what are the mantris doing? They're simply fixing their minds and hearts on the lotus feet of Radharani. And Lord Shiva is telling in this Radhakripa Kataksha Mahastotram, he's saying, Apara Siddhi Riddhi Digda Sat Padangalinake Kadakrishya Siyamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. He's glorifying the lotus feet of Radharani. Apara Siddhi Riddhi Digda. Apara Siddhi Riddhi. Because this verse talks about Koti Siddhi. It says, Adbhuta Koti Siddhi. Millions, Koti, millions of amazing perfections are rolling in the dust of the feet of the mandris. Well, when the mandris, their heads are totally fixed on Radharani's feet. And Radharani's feet, Lord Shiva, he glorifies them as Apara Siddhi Riddhi. Apara means, the word koti means millions. Crore. Koti means 1 crore. Like we say, sometimes you must have heard, koti koti dandavats. You know, people sometimes write, koti koti means, God, this is so huge. Millions and millions of dandavats. So this word apara means unlimited. Millions means you can put so many zeros after it. 1,000, that's 1,000,000. But when you say apara means you can't count. Countless apara. Sometimes apara is translated as transcendental. Transcendental. So this verse is apara city, riddhi. Not only cities, here it says so many cities. Millions and millions of cities are lying at Radharani's, rolling in the dust at the feet of the Manjaris. But in this verse, Lord Shiva is saying that unlimited numbers of apara city, unlimited numbers of perfections. Not only perfections in mystic cities, but also riddhi, riddhi, R-D-D-H-I means wealth, money, opulence, gold, diamonds. So unlimited amounts of gold and diamonds and wealth is, where is it? Apara siddhi riddhi digda sat padangali nake. Padangali, naka padangali. Padangali means that the feet of Radharani, simply from Radharani's toenails, her padanak, angali, padangali nak. The toenails of Radharani are so powerful and so amazing that millions of opulences and mystic perfections are emanating from her, light of her toenails. And the Manjaris are fixed in meditation on the feet of Radharani, and they're fixed in their hearts and seva, fixed in hearts and minds on the seva of Radharani. So because of that, then so many mystic perfections roll at their feet. So here, this last point, it says, Dasi at Bhuta cities, says the Dasis. This is the fortune, the Kinkaris means the Dasis. So I have some notes to read here. The Raghunuga Sadaka and Manjri Bhav, who are tasting the sweet nectar of Seva of Srimati Radharani, her beautiful and merciful lotus feet, that they feel that they have attained by that the most amazing perfection. I don't know about yourselves, but I can speak for myself, having had 40 years of experience in this line of bhakti yoga, of endeavoring to serve Radha and Krishna. Everyone has done, you and I, we've all done many things in the service of the Lord and engaged in many different practices. But somehow, whether it's early on in life, and your devotional life, which is your good fortune, or later on in life, if one receives that mercy and blessings to be introduced to and to attain, and introduced to the service of Radharani's feet and Radharani directly by the mercy of Sri Guru, then he will actually experience what I just wrote, that this is the most amazing perfection and the most absorbing, and it's endless. Other things that maybe never quite satisfy the mind or heart. So many practices and so many endeavors. And finally, when we get to this point of attaining a direct connection with Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Guru, then you feel that this is an Adbhuta city. The verse talks about Adbhuta city, an amazing perfection. Because everything is relative to the position we're in. If you turn back the clock to the time before you ever were a devotee, because there is some beginning for most of us. Some of us are very fortunate, some of you, let's say, are very fortunate being born in devotee families, and we've met many like that. So, but for most, I suppose, many of us here, sitting here, our devotional experience in this particular life had a beginning. And for me, I wasn't too young. I was 24 when I actually got initiated by Prabhupada. And that's the beginning of actual bhajan, when you take diksha. So now, what we were before, and then the new life of being a devotee, or trying to be a devotee, that's quite diametrically different, quite different. And then what the experience was, well, what a perfection this is, to leave that and come to this. What I was, and now what I am. What I was doing, and now what I'm doing. In other words, I left something to do something. As Sridhar Swami, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami used to say, progress means elimination and acceptance. Progress. What is progress? Elimination and acceptance. If you want to go further, you have to eliminate where you are in order to go forward. I mean, it's pretty easy. Just take a very simple example. Someone just came to mind. If you're in a parking place, your car is parked, and you want to go somewhere else, you have to give up your parking place and drive your car away, even though maybe a really good place right near the entrance door. So you give that up, and then you can make progress towards your next parking place. It's not a very good analogy. But it's, in other words, we were doing something, we gave it up, we started in bhakti. So now we're doing something in bhakti for many days, many months, and then we didn't give it up, but we just modified it. But it appears that we gave up this particular orientation or outlook towards bhakti and accepted a new outlook or new orientation and a new focus, and that's progress by eliminating and accepting. So this is progress. This is the proof that okay, we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. Some devotees are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti for some time. They have no idea what Raghunavis Sadhana is, and somehow their own, they grow up, they mature, their devotion develops, they develop intense focus in their own lives and particular ruchi and desire to serve Radha and Krishna, and some greed, what is called transcendental greed or intense hankering and desiring, I want this. That's something new that we didn't have before. So what we had before gradually fades away. And you can say gets eliminated or fades away, or let's say transforms, and we accept a new practice, a new outlook, a new way of thinking. I mean, how many people, when they joined, they had the understanding that the goal of life is Radha consciousness? And how many people, when they joined, understood that the goal of life is pleasing the lotus feet of Radharani? And how many people, when they joined Krishna consciousness, had the idea that Radha Dasyam, and becoming a kinkri of Radharani, a female maidservant, is the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, for the most part. Not me, to be quite honest with you. But it's better late than never. I'd say better late than never. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I hope we can rewrite that statement with this one old dog over here. I'm trying to learn some new tricks. But so this is the idea that we're going, this means progress. Always something new, and it's all one. Everyone from day one in Vaidhi Bhakti or Rag Bhakti, if you start right in the beginning with Rag Bhakti by your good karmas and good fortunes, it's all, the goal is love of God, Krishna Prema, and love of Radha and Krishna together. The goal is Vrindavan, the goal is Radha and Krishna, and the goal is their loving service for everyone, for every single Gaudiya Vaishnava. Gradually, as we go forward, we may come to feel that, oh yes, now by Guru's grace, by the blessings of Guru and Gurus, I've attained this most amazing perfection. For me, this is a Buddha city. This is a Buddha city. Like what I've received from my Gurudev and what I've attained, I consider that perfection. If someone says, do you want anything more? What more? Or Kuch? I'm not Giriraj Baba. Giriraj Baba says, Anyor. Anyor means, give me more. You give him so much Chapan Bhog, and so many times you give him Chapan Bhog, and he eats so much Anukut, and still he says, Anyor. Anyor means, give me more. In India, when you sit down in some gentleman's home and they serve you prasadam, then they'll say, or kuch, right? Do you want, kuch means little, like I said, kinchin, kuch. Or do you want a little more? No. But then they make you take more. and more than and Aniyor and Aniyor. You say, wait. So this is there's nothing more. Now it's like, all right, perfection. Guru gives perfection in the hand. Now you have it in your hand, and he gives perfection in your ear. Now the perfection has to come from your hand, from your ear, and that perfection has to take deep root in your mind and heart and grow there, because the perfection is given to you. This is the mercy of Guru. And that definition of that perfection, that will be individual according to one's fortune. Just to leave it in a rather paroksha, vaad way. And if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. So therefore, we have that, as the verse is saying, many, they feel what they have. Like you ask someone, do you feel that you have perfection in your life? Yes, I have Guru. I'm doing devotional service. If someone asked me 40 years ago, and some people did actually, they said, do you think you've found everything in life that you need to find? Have you discovered everything you need to discover? Have you attained everything in life you want to attain? And I would say yes. Otherwise, where's our footing in Krishna consciousness? Where's our conviction? Where's our dridhavrata? Yes, this is it. There's nothing higher than this. The highest goal is prema, love. Who can argue that? Even a materialist will have that idea. There's money, power, name, fame, position. Those are attainments, but they don't compare a fig or a matchstick to the attainment of love. Love reigns supreme everywhere. Love reigns supreme in the material sphere or the spiritual domain. Spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan. Prem Dham Vrindavan. It's a Dham, it's a place of prema. So when people would say 40 years ago, I mean, you're young, you have qualification, you went to college, you have a degree, you can be a doctor, this, that. Tuchavat. Tuchavat means insignificant. What do I care? No, but you have, but it, you know, they have this phrase, but you left a budding career, you know, flower bud, a budding career to become a Krishna. That's what in America they call a Krishna. You become a Hare Krishna. I said, yeah, but you're wasting your life. You know, you shave your head and you stand on the street corner and bang a, you know, symbol Hare Krishna. But we felt then we had perfection, didn't we? All of us. We found it. This is the Shangri-La. This is the El Dorado. This is what I've been searching for. This is the paradise found, not paradise lost. Paradise found. Eureka, I found it. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's Gauranga's lotus feet. At the end of the rainbow, they have some proverb. If you can follow the rainbow to its very end, there you will find the treasures you've been looking for. Follow the rainbow to the end and you find a pot of gold. We did. The pot of gold is Radharani's golden lotus feet and Gauranga's golden lotus feet. Gaurangi and Gauranga. Gauranga gives Gaurangi. So this is the bhakti. So we feel we've attained. That's because the verse is the glories of Radharani. It says the glories of Radharani's name, the glories of worshipping Radharani's feet. And there's so many unlimited desire trees and leelas expanding from Radharani's feet wherever they pitter and patter. Radharani's feet are pittering, pattering, and walking hither and thither and brudge. So many unlimited leelas there. But then, okay, who knows most about all that? And who's having the fortune over there with Radharani's feet? Her dasis. Wherever the master goes, the servant goes. Wherever the master's feet are treading, then the servant's feet are running closely behind with all the necessary paraphernalia for the master's pleasure and satisfaction. So the dasis are running. Whatever Radharani, she runs on Avisar. We read a verse before in Adikmas. Oh, Radharani, when will you... He said, Unmad Avisarini. When will I be running behind you as when you are Unmadani, Unmad Abhisarani. Abhisar means rendezvous or lover's tryst. Going out for lovers, for love journey, the lover, beloved running out to meet the lover generally. Sometimes the lover also, at least in Krishna Lila. Radharani's waiting and Krishna comes. So then, but it's, Sripad describes Radharani's unmad, she's totally mad. She's madly running down the footpath and the Manjari is struggling to run behind her because Radharani's just running, but the Manjari's got trays in her hand and water pitchers in her hand, trays, and running is one thing, but run with a pitcher of water and don't spill a drop of water and carry a tray with kumkum on it and chandan and other things and tumble and don't run down the slippery footpaths of Vrindavan in the rainy season. It's not too easy. And Radharani's mad. And of course, that madness is reflecting in your heart mostly, but okay, so take away all those things and you can run equally as fast as Radharani because the same madness from Unmad, Mahabhav Unmadani is reflecting in the Manjari's heart. But only reflecting, it's not, the sun is the sun, the reflections are not, okay, I have the sun in my mirror, but I don't have the sun. I have the sun in my mirror, but I don't have the sun. So the Manjari's there, Bhav Tadatmika with Radharani, so they reflect her bhavas, but not to the extent that she's experiencing. It's not possible, because Radharani's unique empress of that Mahabhava, and no one has the complete access to that. Manjari's are experiencing enough to keep them almost dropping everything they're supposed to do, but then the Mahabhava grows within them, but they don't forget how to serve or forget what they have to do. So this is amazing. So this is the highest, most amazing perfection. It's the Prem Seva of Sri Radha. The Manjaris that have the very fortunate Manjaris, all these Adbhuta Siddhi Koti, millions of mystic perfections, or Lutati Charanayor. Lutati Charanayor. They're rolling at the feet of the Kinkaris. Kinkarinam Lutati Charanayor. Sri Radha Kinkari. Kinkari means maidservant. Surrendered maidservant, Manjaris. The Manjaris are peaceful, satisfied, free from hankering for any other type of perfection or city. This is as this phrase, the buck stops here. Someone finally, because what is a perfection? A perfection is, first you learn about who is God. Five subjects of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Bhagavat Tattva, Bhagavat Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Kala Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, and Karma Tattva. These are the five tattvas of the Gita. So then you learn that in that Jiva Tattva and Bhagavat Tattva, there's a relationship. I'm the servant, God's the master. God's the father, I'm his son, I'm his daughter. Serve the master. But then it goes on and on and on. And finally you say, well, I'm Krishna's servant, but who is Krishna, who am I? But, oh, Krishna has an eternal spiritual body. Well, so do I. I have an eternal spiritual body. Well, where is it? I don't see it. Has anyone seen it? Have you seen it? I can't seem to find it right now. No, it's there. Some people say, oh, it's inside you. It's just hiding it under your armpits. And where is your spiritual body? It's inside your heart. Well, so many heart surgeries have been done and no spiritual bodies came jumping out. I haven't heard. Obviously. So where is the spiritual body? It's in Vaikuntha. This is what Jiva Goswami is telling in Sandarvas, and it's told in Third Canto of Bhagavatam, and it's told everywhere. And whenever you read about five places in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam that talks about the Siddhadeha, spiritual body, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, shlokas in Sanskrit. And everywhere it says that Vishnu brings the spiritual body from the spiritual world to give to Narada Muni. It's in First Canto, chapter 3, verse 28, maybe. Or chapter 6, verse 28. It says, Prayujamane, that it describes Narada Muni's progress after his mother died, and his touring all the villages and everything. And finally he was experiencing symptoms of bhava. He was at the level of bhava. And then at that level he had one darshan of Chaturbhuj Narayan. And he heard Narayan's voice. Narayan said, "You won't see me again." Then when he gave up his body, he had attained prema. And it says that Narayan came and brought his spiritual body from the spiritual world. Then the other story is Gajendra, in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Narayan bought. And the other story is Ajamiel in the 6th canto. After he chanted Narayan one time, he was saved from, all his sins were eliminated, he was saved from hell. He went to do Nam Bhajan in Haridwar. And then when he gave up his body, the spiritual body was brought from Vaikuntha to Ajamiel. At the Gajendra in 8th canto, and another place I can't remember. So like this, we'll just so we find out who we are. So the devotees there, we'll just finish because we're almost finished. 1 minute we'll finish. They're free from hankering and desiring for some city or perfection. All we want, you know, the Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Teva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. A Krishna Bhakta is peaceful because he's desireless. Others, I already spoke all this, which is in my notes. Lutan charananyor, charananyor koti. And I already mentioned all that also. So why? Because Radha's kinkris are completely peaceful and contented, fulfilled. As I mentioned earlier, is my direct experience that almost so many things can happen in one's life. Many, many things can happen in one's life. Due to his prarabdha karmas or aprarabdha karmas, or simply desire Krishna. Vishnu says that once you're initiated, everything's in Krishna's hands. Krishna's bringing you the good, the bad, whatever he's doing, even for the beginning devotee. This is in 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 8. Very elaborate tika of Vishnu Chakravarti. And other places also. So however it is, we're getting good comes in our life, bad comes in our life, promotions come in everyone's life, demotions, happiness, sadness. But it must be agreed upon, at least I can say that all of us and myself, we've all been through a lot. But somehow at the end of whatever we're going through, if in the course of our devotional life, Guru rewards us by revealing to us our eternal spiritual form, as the maidservant of Radharani, then certainly you will feel great happiness. One devotee the other day said, "Oh, you're always smiling." And I wasn't always smiling. But when you get something very nice, or maybe you eat a big feast, you also smile. The brahmacharis have a big feast, they smile. You know? Or maybe, I know, maybe ladies too, I don't know. But I know brahmacharis because I was 10 years brahmachari then, Tuxedo. So we feel happy. If you feel happy and you feel full and you're happy and satisfied then, and if you're not like sick and dying of some disease and some emotional upheaval, then you can smile, truly smile. And if you found something, received something wonderful, you know, you fell in love for the first time or any time, whenever time, you may smile, at least for some time. So I think the source of any devotee's happiness, the source of his smiling or the source of his happiness is experiencing the presence of Krishna in his heart. Experiencing the presence of Radharani and Guru in his heart. Then he smiles. What me worry is an old thing they used to have. So I just finish it. So this is our perfection, and perfection of anyone. You ask anyone, "What's your perfection?" "My perfection is I want happiness." Ask anyone in the material world, "What do you want?" "I want happiness." And love is the greatest generator of happiness. You try to do anything else to get happiness, it comes and goes. But if you can get love, then your happiness will stay as long as your love stays. So when Krishna extends his love, when Krishna extends his love to a devotee, then that love comes in the form of Guru. And Guru initiates one. And then finally Guru reveals one's eternal form. That's the mercy of Krishna and Guru. then that means he's received Krishna's love. So he feels happy about being the recipient of Krishna's love. If Guru takes you and he speaks to you confidentially and he tells you, reveals to you your eternal identity, that is a great expression of Krishna's love coming through Guru. So it's Guru's love and Krishna's love. So naturally, when you have that love, you feel happy. Oh, I'm the recipient of Krishna's love. I'm a recipient. I receive many things in life, many bad things in life. But if you get this one thing, if you receive the love of Guru or Krishna, then you have everything. So that's why Srimati Radharani's kinkris are completely peaceful and contented and fulfilled, because they've already attained the most amazing perfection, the Adbhuta Siddhi Koti. What is that? The opportunity to serve the lotus feet of Radharani forever. Radhapada Kamala. Radhapada Kamala Sudha Nitya Seva, the eternal service of the nectar of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Prabhadananda Saraswati Pada Ki Jai. Shri Kartik Devi Radharani Ki Jai. Shama Kanradha Kangiri Govardhana Ki Jai.